You know, starting up this new week on Wall Street, we're well over halfway through earnings season, at least for the S&P 500, and there have been some conspicuous misses. But the fact is, so far it looks like they're punishing those stocks, and considering we're trading at new all-time high levels on the major averages, not everybody else. I hope that can continue for a while. Pat O'Hare is the chief market analyst at Briefing.com and keeps up with all those earnings and more. And joins us right now from Chicago. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, David. It's great to be back with you.
Thank you. You know, somehow sometimes they just throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you have one miss, and it takes everybody. This is a fairly sophisticated attitude on the part of the market, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think it kind of speaks to the idea that the market is recognizing that a lot of these, quote, story stocks have gotten way ahead of themselves without any fundamental justification to get as far as they've gotten. And so, you know, when you get some disappointments, you know, those valuation parameters get reined in, and I think the market is certainly becoming more discriminating now in terms of trying to figure out what earnings it's really going to pay up for, and kind of what concept it's really going to pay up for. And so there has been a little more fine tuning in terms of the reaction to this earnings reporting period than we've seen in past reporting periods.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell what this market cares about. I mean, on the one hand, certainly earnings always matter, but China, we trade on every rumor about China trade. Politics don't seem to have been a big part of this, but the Fed seems to be very important to this market right now.
Well, that's exactly right, David. And I think that we can kind of go back to what you led with there is, you know, the earnings always matter, but strikingly, you know, you can kind of make an argument that they have not mattered this year, right? So we have the S&P 500 up over 22% year-to-date, trading at a record high, and you have three straight declines in quarterly earnings on a year-over-year basis, right? And the fourth quarter, that estimate has recently come down, and now it's projecting a small decline in the fourth quarter. So you're running through a year here where you haven't had any earnings growth, and yet the market is at, you know, running to a record high. So that's really peculiar. But to the other point you make, it seems very fixated on trade dealings with China and what's happening at the Federal Reserve. But all in all, this market has its eye on next year, right? It believes what the Federal Reserve is doing is going to create a bridge to that future that entails better economic and better earnings growth. And therefore, it's kind of being more patient in here and trading through some otherwise negative earnings results on the expectation that things are going to be much better in 2020.
You know, and that seems to be universal, because I was astounded to see Hong Kong up, you know, well over 1% overnight. Germany, whose economy is just terrible, you know, gained 1.3% of the first trading day of the new week. And it all seemed to be on this sort of global optimism that's going on.
Well, that's it. And, you know, and another thing that's sort of jumping off right now is this so-called FOMO trade, right? The fear of missing out, right? You rightfully list a number of negative influences here that would presumably be, you know, headwinds for the market, and yet you have the market breaking out to an all-time high, and there's this, you know, burgeoning belief that earnings growth will be better in 2020, and so you can't afford to miss that move. And then alternatively, you know, there's some reports that suggest that, you know, money managers are effectively underweight this market. And so as you look to year end and the sniffing of bonuses that are out there, you could get some performance chasing here at what's typically a very favorable seasonal time of year. And so the market right now seems to be in a pretty good position, all else equal, assuming these trade matters don't turn into the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other thing that really nobody talks about is, what do you do with the money? I mean, the bond. Everybody's fearing the bond market. You have a little uptick in interest rates, and the bond market's going to, you know, drop like a rock. You can't make any money in money market funds. It seems like it's either, you know, bury it in your backyard or go ahead and take a flyer on the stock market.
Right. Although, if you do buy into the belief that things will indeed accelerate in 2020, that would lead you to some stocks and sectors with less demanding valuation that have kind of been left behind in this sort of growth stock bonanza that has pretty much dominated for the last several years. And so, if that mindset really does kick in, you will likely see some rotation in search of alpha into those areas with less demanding valuations, which would be, sectors like financials and energy and healthcare to a certain extent.
The value stocks come back into play. I noticed you brought us back down to earth in your commentary for the week on briefing.com when you quoted Sir John Templeton, who said that bull markets mature on optimism and die on euphoria. Are we euphoric right now?
No, I don't think that we are. I do think that we're in a mature phase right now, but the conclusion of that commentary, though, is that we might be at a period here, based on what the Fed gifted the market last week, which was this notion that they're not going to be raising interest rates anytime soon, that you could, eventually look back to this week as saying it is the beginning of the end, because the Fed has basically created a backdrop where you can create a euphoric market environment, right? So you have a typically favorable seasonal time of year here. You're not getting any real terrible headwinds in terms of, trade news right now. There's this burgeoning belief that earnings growth will improve next year. And so really this market, has this sort of it's kind of in this very interesting zone right now where it has a reason to embrace this idea that you could get a material leg higher here. And if you do get that performance chasing we talked about earlier, you could get into somewhat of a euphoric melt-up phase here because, no one right now seems to be operating in fear of the Fed as it relates to trading the stock market.
Politics almost seems like it's become a black swan. I mean, we have headlines every day about impeachment or people that are going to talk or new revelations. This stock market doesn't seem to trade on that news at all. Are we being set up? And if we got to the point where it looked like they actually might vote in the Senate to remove the president, maybe that would kill off the market. Does politics count at all?
It's I think it's largely noise in the echo chamber. You'll get a little bit of very short-term volatility relates to some of these headlines, but when you take a step back and you acknowledge that the market is at an all-time high right now, you can declare that market participants have essentially set politics aside and they're not getting too caught up in the noise that they're hearing in the echo chamber, and I think rightfully so, right? The Democrats haven't even named a nominee yet, right? And, by all accounts, even if this impeachment inquiry moves forward, it certainly sounds as if it's not going to pass the Senate. And so I think the market has kind of resigned itself to the idea that what's happening right now is a duty to the Constitution, but ultimately isn't going to lead to a change in the Oval Office because the Senate, doesn't seem to be on board with it.
Well, is that fine with me? The market evidently is fine with them. I was always taught not to discuss politics or religion. It looks like the market's holding to it. Patrick J. O'Hara's Chief Market Analyst at Briefing.com. It's always good to have you with us, sir. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, David. Glad to be with you.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. O'Hara, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.